Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
He was studying 1 Corinthians 13, which happens to be one of my favorite passages. Love never fails, it tells us. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
The mindset of the entire anti-university or multiversity is trying to drive home the point that there is no meaning in life. You are your own God. Do what you will do for your own sake. Pay us $40,000 a year to do it here.
The story of the changing of water to wine already has within it important references to Jesus' death.
Hello. I want to say that foreigners with English as a second language also love issues, etc. Bye.
Yesterday was a big day. It was the kind of day that doesn't come along very often nowadays. In fact, it's been almost a decade since a day like that came along. Yesterday, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in a challenge to a Texas abortion law, Whole Woman's Health v. Hellerstedt. Now, it's easy to get caught up in the protests that were taking place outside on both sides of this issue outside the Supreme Court yesterday as the court was inside hearing those arguments. What's the case about and what is the biggest problem facing the pro-choice, the pro-abortion advocates out there? We're going to be talking about those oral arguments heard yesterday by the Supreme Court in a legal challenge to a Texas abortion law. Casey Maddox will be our guest. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Thursday afternoon, the 3rd of March. After our conversation with Casey Maddox, Brian Brown will join us, president of the National Organization for Marriage. We'll talk about GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump and the issue of homosexual marriage. Then it's This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. A RICO lawsuit has been filed against former Mars Hill pastor Mark Driscoll. We'll talk about that with Chris Roseborough, fighting for the faith. Joining us to talk about the Supreme Court arguments heard yesterday in a challenge to a Texas abortion law, Casey Maddox, senior counsel for the Alliance Defending Freedom, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled 20,000 Problems Facing Abortion Advocates at the Supreme Court. Casey, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Todd.
You have written about the multitude of problems facing abortion advocates there in the court. What's the biggest one?
You know, the biggest problem facing them is basically the truth and their long history of telling the court things that history shows are just not true. So, for example, the last few times they've been before the Supreme Court, they've told the court that in the partial birth abortion case, for example, that partial birth abortion was necessary for women's health. There were about six of them happening a day. They were necessary. And if the court struck down partial birth abortion, that women would be women's health would be hurt, that there were women who needed this particular kind of an abortion. So what the Supreme Court did was to say, well, we'll uphold it, but if you can show us a specific example like that, then it can be a partial birth abortion can be done in such a case if you can show us one of those examples. And in 9 years, they've never produced a single example. So that's just one example of the kinds of things that they've told the court. They asked the court to make decisions based on facts that they just claimed were true. And then history shows that those facts are not true. And that's, you know, in a case like this, this is going to be a big question for the court. How much can they rely upon the facts that are claimed by the abortion industry?
So this really takes the whole issue of abortion safety out of the theory and puts it into what actually occurs in a real abortion clinic.
That's exactly right. And frankly, that's always been where the abortion industry does not want to fight these cases. They want to argue these cases up in the clouds, based on nothing more than their own statement as to what the facts are. They'll have a doctor who will write out a statement claiming that this would happen if this clinic closed or something like that. Those are the facts that they want the court to rely upon. And increasingly, this has been sort of the quiet victory of the pro-life movement over the last decade or so. Increasingly, the courts have been saying, well, that's not going to be good enough. You're going to have to actually show us facts. And when they have to prove facts, the abortion industry loses.
This is a court that is absent one justice with the death of Antonin Scalia. How do you think that's going to affect how it's heard? There's recent rumors coming out of the Supreme Court that Justice Thomas is asking questions for the first time in his judicial career there on the high court, and also what the decision might be.
Well, you know, the Constitution shouldn't change just because of one very sad day out in West Texas. But, you know, as you note, obviously there likely will be some impact from this. We just don't know exactly what. At this point, I think this should be a unanimous decision. You have a law here in Texas that's actually protecting women's health. The whole purpose of this law is to protect women's health. This should be something that everyone can get behind, just basically treating abortion facilities the same as any other similar provider.
So what specifically does the Texas law require?
Basically what it requires, and this is to go back almost 3 years ago, this is the Texas HB2 that was filibustered by Wendy Davis and fought by her. This law requires admitting privileges for abortionists, that they actually have to have the ability to admit a woman to a hospital locally if they botch the abortion. And there's some other requirements. And then one part of the law that's actually not at the Supreme Court, notably, is the part that Wendy Davis really protested the most, and that was the fetal pain portion of this law. They never challenged it. The reason they never challenged it is because they knew that they would lose on that ground, and they didn't want to lose that battle and have that get to the Supreme Court, which is another truth problem, of course. When they protest those sorts of laws, say that these are going to be terrible, terrible things, and then they leave them in place and don't challenge them because they know that they'll lose if they do.
What is the court actually being asked to decide, however it decides? What specifically is it being asked to decide in this case?
Basically, the question before the court is whether requiring abortion facilities to be treated like other ambulatory surgical centers, that they have admitting privileges for their doctors with a local hospital, that they adhere to basic health and safety standards, that the hallways are wide enough to be able to get a gurney through if a woman is in trouble, that they have basic sanitation in place. The question is basically whether having a law like that and including abortionists in the same sorts of laws that would apply to other kinds of facilities violates the Constitution or not. The abortion industry will say that this is going to shut clinics because they have decided that they can't comply with such a very basic health and safety standard, and the Supreme Court will decide whether or not that the right to abortion means there is a right effectively to an unsafe abortion.
If the court upholds the Texas law, what would that mean nationwide?
You know, what it would mean is that states and therefore the people are actually empowered to decide in their states, how are we going to regulate this practice of abortion? If we're going to have abortion be legal in our country, the very least I think that people can expect is that on a local level, they ought to be able to regulate it like any other medical practice. And that's really what's at issue in the court.
Would it mean would it result in the closing of abortion clinics?
Well, if abortion clinics decide that they can't be safe and they won't invest the money, invest whatever resources they need in order to make their facility safe, then it would close those clinics. And in Texas, a number of abortion clinics have decided that they've told the court anyway that they can't comply and they would close those clinics. But that's a decision that would be up to the abortion clinic. If they want to comply, there's nothing in the law that would stop them from complying. They just have to actually prioritize women's health rather than prioritizing their bottom line.
Do you expect that argument to have been made there before the justices? Oh, it's going to mean mass closings of abortion clinics and cutting off, quote unquote, health services to women. And should the justices consider that?
You know, that's they are making that argument. That's been one of their chief arguments. This will close these clinics. But it's exactly this kind of fact that history has shown that you can't trust from the abortion industry. It's a fact that's based only in the very self-interested claim of the abortion industry themselves, saying in affidavits to the court, we can't comply, we'll have to close. Well, there are abortion clinics. There are, in fact, abortion clinics around the country that do comply with those kinds of standards, that do have doctors that have admitting privileges. So we know that it's possible for abortion clinics to actually at least comply with these sorts of health and safety standards. And I think the court will look at that and realize that, you know, look, we've been told several times over the last decade or so from abortionists things that did not turn out to be true. And I think we should, I'm hoping that the court looks at that and says, maybe we should look askance at these claims that they're making now.
We spoke before about Scalia's absence, but on the abortion issue and on so many of these issues, it is often Anthony Kennedy that goes one way or the other. We're talking about a 4-4 here. Does this still hang on Anthony Kennedy's vote?
Well, it may, but like I said, I think there is potential here for other justices to look at this and to say, this is a health and safety standard, and we should empower the states to be able to make decisions about regulating this practice like they would any other medical practice. But, we'll see. There's a number of ways that the case could come out. It could come out 4-4, in which case the lower court decision, which largely upheld this Texas law, would actually stand as good law. So we'll see how the court comes out on that.
Do you think, Casey, that this is a tactical error on the part of abortion advocates to allow this particular thing to come before the Supreme Court, especially given the lower court's decision?
Well, I certainly hope so. They have been, as I mentioned before, there are a number of kinds of abortion laws that they will often yell about when legislators are considering them and talk about how terrible they're going to be, and then they never actually challenge them because they're afraid of what will happen. They have been willing to challenge these kinds of laws. I think the Supreme Court is ready to uphold a law that simply says you're going to have to treat abortion clinics like you treat other medical providers. That should not be a controversial law, and so we're certainly very hopeful that the Supreme Court will see it that way.
Casey Maddox is senior counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled 20,000 Problems Facing Abortion Advocates at the Supreme Court. You can read this column under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Casey, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking about GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump on the issue of marriage, in particular homosexual marriage. Brian Brown, president of the National Organization for Marriage based in Washington, D.C., will be our guest.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Join us for the third annual Metro East Home and Garden Show, March 12th and 13th, to benefit the Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. Join us for this fun and informative event featuring over 40 vendors, family activities, prizes and giveaways, and appearances by Fredberg. Recycling services sponsored by MERS Goodwill. Shredding services by Scott Credit Union. Pet adoption services on site. On Saturday, March 12th, KFTK's Rich Orris of Mosby Building Arts and Tony Frisella of Frisella's Nursery will be broadcasting their shows live and taking questions from the audience. Then Sunday, March 13th, is Family Safety Day, featuring professional organizer Terry Capehart, Glennon's Safety Kids Program, with helmets for the first 50 children, a smoke fire simulator from the Edwardsville Fire Department, the Glennon Sports Care Team, and don't forget about Fredberg. Parking and admission are free for the Metro East Home and Garden Show, sponsored by the Bank of Edwardsville. Learn more at mehgs.org.